Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and her guest Billy Brim reveal how the body of Christ, in the end of days, is called to be the glorious church, set apart to reveal God's glory. Now here's Gloria.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim is back with us, expounding the scriptures on
the move of God.
The move of
the
God,
move is on.
Which is extremely important.
Hallelujah.
And so be all ears.
You know, Gloria, you and I came in under Brother Kenneth E. Hagin.
Yes, we did.
And we heard all the grand prophecies about the church going out of here, not defeated, not from a cave somewhere, with survival food. And you had to have a kerosene stove. No, that's what they used to say back then.
Yeah.
We always heard that we're going out a glorious church, not a weak, emaciated church.
That's right.
A strong church. And we are going to have, before Jesus comes, a great move of God.
Yes.
And a great, great harvest. And so, in 19, I only missed one camp meeting of Brother Hagin's camp meetings. And that was the 1987 camp meeting. And I was in Israel that summer studying Hebrew. At the Lord's, you know, he had told me to. When I got home, everybody was talking about Brother Hagin's vision. He'd had another vision in the books that you're going to get because you order at the end. It's 8 visions that he's had directly with Jesus, but he'd had another one. And the Lord had taken him up. He had gone to bed at night, and he had said over and over and over, plans, purposes, pursuits. Plans, purposes, pursuits. And then while he was saying that, the Lord caught him up over the Tulsa Civic Center, where it's going to be, you know.
He caught him up in the air.
Caught him up. And he told him about the great move that's coming. But he told Brother Hagin, they have to do it my way. They have to have my plans and my purposes.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to pursue. And not make their own plans.
I can understand that.
Yes. And so here's a little bit from the preface of this book. The things Jesus talked to him about were going to move out into this place of a new beginning, really. It's really going to carry us over to the next stage. The things Jesus explained to me in this vision were to help get the body of Christ ready for the next great move of God's Spirit upon the earth. The spiritual truths that Jesus shared in this vision are to be a springboard that will spring the body of Christ into a realm of the supernatural. In a way and in a place we've barely been before. Because we will be following His plans and His purposes and pursuing them. In the wave of God's blessing that is coming upon the earth, the things that have been manifested occasionally will become commonplace with the body of Christ. Like air to the bird.
Yeah.
Water to the fish.
Yeah, I remember that.
Breath. Hallelujah. The head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, is directing the activities of His body in the world today, and He will receive all the praise and the honor and the glory. There's a move of God, dear friends, but we can't just jump into it. God wants us to get there. And that is why we have to follow His plans, His purposes, and pursue them. He talked in here about ministers that would just get their own plans. But if you, or somebody else's, maybe see a church down the road that's growing.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to spend time before God, is what this book says, and find out your path.
Yeah, that's right.
Your way, your place that He has for you. And so he had some general overall instructions, and we'll be going back to them about this great move of God. But it tells us in the Word of God how we can do it, what we are to do so that we'll be in the plan of God and so that we'll be ready for the great move of God. And the book of Ephesians is just the book for the glorious church. Mm. All the Bible's for the church, but not all the Bible's about the church. There are some scriptures which have to do with going through the tribulation, the wrath. But it says of the church, they're not appointed under wrath.
Praise God.
So people will get a scripture, doesn't have anything to do with the church, and try to make it apply. So we want to know what applies to us, what particularly applies to the church. And the Word of God cannot be, if you want to yield with God and flow with God, then you have to give the Word first place. It has to be first place in your life. What does the Word say? How does the Word tell us that we work with God in this great move? So the book that tells us about the move is the book of Ephesians. And he tells us in that very book what we're supposed to do. Now, we talked on Wednesday about the authority of the believer, Tuesday and Wednesday. And we use the first part of the book of Ephesians, which establishes that great and glorious truth. So if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, we read that prayer, remember? And we sat in our seats and we ruled and reigned. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians are filled with the highest spiritual truths. God raised Jesus from the dead. Satan opposed him, but he raised him from the dead. He quickened him. He raised him. He seated him at his own right hand, far above all principality, power, and dominion. Gave him, put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. He that filleth all in all. Second chapter tells us that when he raised him, started with quickening, made alive. When he quickened him, he quickened us. When he raised him, he raised us. When he seated us in him. And then the third chapter speaks to us about this power of our understanding love. And that when we do, verse 19, we will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Praise God.
It's God's will for little Gloria Copeland.
Hallelujah.
We were talking down at her house last night. Ken was just talking about, I heard stories about her cooking potatoes in the coffee pot before. But I heard a story last night I never heard.
What was it?
That was the apartment by the railroad.
Oh, yeah, where the train got real close.
The first place you ever lived.
Here was the track. Here was our little duplex. And just before the train got there, it turned and went that way and missed us every night, midnight.
Every night at midnight. And last night, Gloria, how did those lights go on that?
Here he come down the track, right in the bedroom window. But
those,
we survived.
Yeah, they survived, those two.
It was cheap.
It was cheap.
Which is a good thing.
They weren't even born again when they got married.
No.
But God was in it.
He was
maneuvering their lives. I heard Kenneth Hagin give Brother Copeland a prophecy that I moved you like a captain. I maneuvered you. Like a captain maneuvers a ship into the harbor. And Ken got waxing down there at the house last night. And you too, both of you, about days of maneuvering. That's what I was thinking.
Days of maneuvering.
Days of maneuvering, Gloria. Even before you guys were born again, and then after you were born again, and it was delightful. Now, with those two, and you all know how their lives turned out, Gloria just said when she got born again, take my life and do something with it. Ken got born again 2 weeks later.
Born again.
He went through that last night, and the power of God that came down on him. Oh, my goodness, it was wonderful. It was one of those moments that you know God gave you. My daughter Shelley was down there. I was glad she got to hear it, you know, and Bebe. It was just a blessing of God. But all the time, He's bringing in you. He's going to have you in these great truths. He knows He's going to have you seated up there at the right hand of the Father, and He's going to have you teaching people how to walk in authority. And then about the love of God. So that when we understand this, and oh, Brother Copeland is so good on the love of God, he lives it.
He does.
He lives it for sure. I couldn't tell you. You don't know what they do, how generous they are. You don't
Praise
know.
Praise God.
You don't know how much they've given to people. You know, many ministries and things, but people, that they meet at Walmart. And the Lord leads them up to them. It's just amazing what this couple does. Reinhardt Bonnke's crusades they pay for, fly him around. I couldn't tell you the blessings in my life. Now, but all that to say this, these high, great, grand, and glorious truths that are in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Ephesians, God was maneuvering them into placing them at His very right hand, teaching them how to command the devil, and verse 19, I'm going to take it from here, chapter 3, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge.
Praise God.
In order that you might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
When He was maneuvering you, Gloria, He plans to fill you with the fullness of God.
Praise God. I receive it.
Whoa! Now, isn't that a high
and
glorious and wonderful revelation?
Yes, it is. Praise God.
Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, He's already told us He wants us to understand that power, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages.
Praise God.
World without end. Amen. Through every age, and the ages are coming, age upon age upon age upon age is in the future. And in every age, this body of Christ, which is about to get completed, will be an entity. And people, I love that prophecy Brother Ken gave. I need to carry that in my Bible. It was about the coming ages. And there'll be people living here on the earth, you know.
Yeah.
Longevity restored to them. And Brother Ken prophesied, they'll look up at us and they'll say, we wish we'd been living in the age of grace when we could have been one of them.
One of the glorious
ones. One of the glorious ones. That's what he said. And the prophecy went on and it said, we have it good. We have wonder. But they have ecstasy.
Praise
ecstasy.
God. That was a good word.
What a good word. Gloria, hunt that up for me, would you please?
I will.
And we'll do it on a future broadcast when we talk about the future for the church. Well, all of that is in these first three chapters. Now, chapter 4 is a very Jewish thing. And you got to remember that Paul was a Jew. Even Jesus was a Jew. So here's how it is with Jewishness. They have the written Torah, the first five books of the Bible, mm-hmm. books of Moses. That's the law. But there is the oral tradition which tells you how to walk it. Okay, this is what you do. You don't eat blood. But there's the oral tradition that God told to Moses, mm-hmm. which tells them, here's how you slaughter. And it is a bunch of rules. We want to be glad they didn't put it in the written word. Because if you had to read it through, you wouldn't like those chapters that told you how to butcher. But he told them
how. It's complicated.
It's complicated. It's complicated so that you don't have any blood in the meat. But he told them how to do it, and they do it. But that's called the halakha. That means how do you walk it. Here's the great, high, grand, glorious truths. Here's how you walk it. So they go to the rabbis, and they say, well, we see this is in the Torah, but what about this situation I've got? And then the rabbi will issue some kind of a decree on it, and they put it in what they call the halakha. How do you walk it? And they've got these thousands of books even on the halakha, how you walk it. So here we come with Jewish Paul. And the Holy Ghost through him has told us these great and grand and glorious things, first three chapters. And then he says, here's how you walk it. The next chapters are how you walk it. So that's what we have to know to cooperate with the move of God. How do we walk it? We got this great, grand, glorious move coming. Yeah. We're going to have these millions of souls coming in. We're going to have glory in the church and fire on the roof. How do we walk it? Well, you walk it like you're supposed to walk your Christian walk, like we're supposed to be walking it every single day.
That's right.
So it starts out with that in the first verse of chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. These grand, great, glorious truths are true about you, but you need to walk worthy. You need to walk right in order to have the fullness of what God has for us.
Obedience.
Now he says that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. In chapter 1, in the prayer, it says he wants us to understand what we're called to. He wants us to understand in the first, that you might know what is the hope of your calling. There's several scriptures which tell us that we are called to the glory. Of course, your own calling is in it, but the whole church is called to glory. And 2 Thessalonians 2:13, glow, bottom of that page.
Bottom of this. Right here.
Yeah, bottom of that page. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not called to be a mediocre church. We're not called to be some kind of a civic organization. We're called to the glory. We're called to be a glorious church. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We're to be filled with the fullness of God.
Praise God.
We're to be partakers of the divine nature. We're to be called to obtain the glory, the presence of God. So here's how you do it. You walk worthy of this. So as we go down into chapter 4 and 5, it's going to tell us how to walk. Chapter 4, verse 17. I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So, the Gentiles, the nations, they're walking with their mind in control. He doesn't want that. He wants you walking with your spirit in dominance. Bless the Lord. Look at verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Praise God.
So there's how we walk. Chapter 5. We'll come back to some of these things. Right now we're just hitting the highlights. Chapter 5. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. So we're to walk worthy. We're to walk not
you,
in
Lord.
The mind of the flesh, but the mind of the spirit. And we're to walk in love. Now, verse 8, and we're going to come back and we're going to camp on this a little bit, probably tomorrow. You were sometimes darkness, But now are you light in the Lord. Walk in the light.
Amen.
Last night, I've talked about this. We were sitting around the table, Ken and Gloria's evening meal, and we decided to listen to a Brother Hagin tape. And he got started on teaching on walking in the light. And he said, what does it mean to walk in the light? It means, he answered the question, to walk in the light of His Word.
Yes, amen.
Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, in order to move into the Spirit of God, move into this move that's coming, we walk in these things that the Word tells us to walk in.
Oh, yeah.
We walk in love. We walk worthy. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we walk in the light of the Word. I shall never forget. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to Kenneth E. Hagin's feet as a teacher, as a prophet. I remember one of the first things, and I heard him say, you must understand the integrity of the Word. This Word, you respect the integrity of it. You know that this Word is God talking to you. God wrote down His thoughts on paper. Now it's paper, used to be scrolls. He wrote it down so that you and I could think His thoughts after Him. And we could walk according to the light that this Word sheds on our path. If you walk this way, you'll have blessings. Blessings of the Lord can come upon you. If you walk in the darkness, it won't happen.
You get to choose.
You choose to walk in the light.
Yeah.
Which means you're going to have to get into the Word of God.
That's right.
Bottom line, for you and me to experience quickly that move of God, we're going to have to put the Word in first place.
Thank you, Lord.
You're going to have to read the Word. Bless the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.